Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the Wombat Sports Podcast here on blogtalkradio.com, also wombatsports.com and gofightlive.tv. I am Mark the Q. I'm your host. Shortly, we're going to have two very talented sisters, Vanessa and Sabrina, from WMMA Jam Live. They do a weekly podcast dedicated to women's mixed martial arts. They're going to be on momentarily. Before I get those lovely ladies on, I wanted to first of all mention a happy International Women's Day to everybody out there. It's a really great day to be able to recognize women and their accomplishments in terms of the world stage, as it were. I wanted to make a cool. First of all, I wasn't expecting to do a show today. I didn't have guests to bring on because I've been sick all week. But Vanessa and Sabrina had the time to be able to come on with us. So first of all, thanks to them. We'll have them on, like I said, momentarily. The other reason was is that it was International Women's Day, and before I get those lovely ladies on, I wanted to make the mention that I was listening this morning to the He for She campaign. If you don't know what the He for She campaign is, please go to my website, go to wombatsports.com. You'll see an open letter I did about the He for She campaign that I reposted on the top of the page. They are working with a lot of men and wanting to get them involved in the terms of gender equality. Emma Watson, who you may know from the Harry Potter movies, figurehead and the person that's really driving this movement. And it started last year, and she had a really great talk this morning in terms of where everything is going to go. First of all, I highly recommend you go to heforshe.org and sign up. If you're a male women's mixed martial arts fan, you're already a supporter of this movement. They want as many males as they possibly can. I think at last count, she said that it kind of peaked right around a little over 200,000, and that needs to grow. That needs to grow at least over a couple million. I know there's a lot more guys that are like-minded, like myself, that needs to sign up for that. It doesn't cost any money or anything. It's just a place to say that you're going to help support these young ladies and these women and being equal in any aspect of their lives. And, like I said, mixed martial arts seems to be the and a lot of women's sports seems to be something that a lot of males are really getting behind and wanting to push for equality. So please go to hefushi.org and please do so, and please be on that as well. Being a male supporter, I know a lot of us are sometimes ridiculed about, the idea that we are being supporters of the movement. A lot of people say, oh, it's because there's a sexual innuendo there, or, we're getting it because we're getting girls' good graces. Really, to tell you the truth, I was raised to see that women were equal. And I'm seeing a lot more of these fathers teaching their daughters and their sons that, women and girls are equal, and they can do a lot of the things men can do. So, just know that there's a community out there. I've been talking to a couple of people over at the He for She campaign, a couple of the supporters, because I was listening to the chat this morning, and we've been talking a little bit about it, and it's interesting to be able to say the least. And I think it's important for, everybody to be a part of this. And, I know it's not a she thing. It's a guy versus girl thing. It's about an us thing. So I wanted to mention that as well. So you guys can check out that story. And there's also another story that I've tagged at the top of the Wombat Sports page is an article I wrote for Fresh Start Entertainment for a couple weeks ago about some of the strives outside of the WMA community and the women's fight community that are happening right now that are actually going to benefit the women's fight community as well. So I just wanted to mention that as well. And like I said, it's just something that you need to check out at wombatsports.com. You can check both of those articles out. And like I said, heforshe.org. Please sign the pledge if you can as well. With that in mind, I'm going to get on a very talented podcaster and somebody that contributes to Fresh Start Entertainment as well. She has a weekly podcast called WMMA Jam Live. Give me one second here, Vanessa. I'm going to try to get you on. If the stupid thing will let me pick you up. Okay. Are you there, Vanessa?
I am here.
Okay. Is Sabrina on with us as well, or is she coming?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sabrina's on the line, too.
I am.
Okay, cool. How's everything going, ladies?
Everything's going good. Sunday, just relaxing.
Definitely same thing here.
Yeah. How was the trip out to Invicta, by the way?
Oh, goodness. Invicta was so much fun. I had so much fun there. I had won those tickets to the UFC event, and Invicta was nothing like going to a UFC event. It was so, you know, you could roam around, like, people were just standing, walking around. It just seemed like a big old get-together that just happened to have fights going on in the middle. What about you, Dina?
Yeah, that's how I felt, too. I loved it. I was noticing a couple of people comment, like, oh, you know, the seats look empty, but it wasn't that the seats are empty. It was it was better to stand. And it was easy to – there was a lot of UFC people, a lot of other Invicta girls, and it was the accessibility was awesome. And I think if you get a chance to go to anyone, I'd say an Invicta one is a fun one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a kind of a community. I mean, with the UFC, it's kind of, you know, kind of big in terms of the fan base and all that as well. And you know, as much as the fighters are, very nice and very kind as well at the UFC. But it's just a little bit more intimate, you know. It's like, you know, going to see a band at a small club venue versus going to a big large arena. You know, there's that kind of intimacy towards that, and I think what Invicta does very well is that they do give that access to the fans, to the fighters, a lot easier. And I think that you know, the fans feel, you know, that they feel that they're part of something. And I absolutely love about it, you know. And it's great to be able to see, you know, kind of like the weigh-ins and all that as well. You'll see a lot of that at the weigh-ins, where you'll see these you know, these fans that are there as well. Did you guys check out any of the press events that was going on, like the open workouts or anything?
Yeah, we did go to open workouts for sure. Even that was so much fun. I was thinking, man, you know, Ronda Rousey's going to be there at the end of the day. There's going to be so many people. And, you know, and I guess I expected something different, like we were going to be in a special area. But no, it's like right smack in the middle of the gym. And, you know, it wasn't too crowded, but there was still a lot of people there. And just getting, you know, that press access. It was really awesome being able to be right up there and go to the back and get to talk to the ladies and see them kind of warm up before.
Yeah, they're all really, like, they all stayed and signed. Ronda Rousey signed for everybody who was there. That was the cool thing. I think the ladies had fun, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there was an atmosphere there. I mean, you know, like I said, the fans are there and all that as well, and to be able to have that ability to. Were you just there for the UFC ones, or did you catch the Invicta ones at all?
We were there. We did show up a little bit late, so unfortunately we missed Charmaine Sweet, yeah. But we got there when Alexa Grasso was in, you know, just got started. So we stayed all the way to the end. Hanging out with the UFC ones.
Yeah, they didn't change our wristband, so we just stayed for the UFC ones. We were like, screw it. We were there for the Invicta ones. I like those ones the most. Even those, like Grasso and Cyborg, we're taking pictures with everybody, Aldana. It was cool.
Well, even the ladies, they were just chilling around the gym watching. You know, they were out with the fans, so that was really cool, too.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a video of you know, Invicta had put out some video of the open workout, and you know, there was a girl crying over meeting Cyborg, and I kind of like wow, but yeah, I mean, Cyborg is probably you know as much as reputation she may have in the media, the mainstream media, I'll say, because I think us in the WMMA community in terms of the media. Know who Cyborg is, and have, you know, I've talked to her a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the nicest individual outside the cage. She's really, you know, she's really one of those things. She's very humble. I was there when she was doing a class for the G-Fight Summit a couple years ago. You know, she's a very humble individual as well. I mean, You know, I know she gets a lot of flack, but she is, you know, I think a lot of people still feel she's one of the true icons of the sport. So it's great to be able to have that opportunity to see fans really interact with her and, you know, not give her flack for it as well. So it's great to be able to see that as well. I'm pretty sure you guys had the same feeling, you know, when Cyborg was there in the room.
Oh, yeah, I was excited. I'm a huge Cyborg fan, so to be able to be, you know, up close and personal, especially, like, it was so much fun. And she had one fan who, man, I'm guessing he was an even bigger fan. He was there, like, go Chris, go CC. He was having so much fun. I love seeing
go CC. Go CC. Yeah, you know, it sucks that Cyborg gets, like, people jump on that Cyborg hate bandwagon quick, but everybody's so quick to forgive Anderson Silva and everybody else. She touches dirty once. Even if people think whatever she wants, she still comes up clean all the other times. And without, you know, I love Gina Carano, but there's still nothing without Cyborg, too. And I think she deserves a lot more credit than people, unfortunately, don't give her.
Yeah, I'm still arguing with people online that said that she's a cheater. I'm like going, well, then you've got to call half the UFC cheaters because a lot of them have tested positive for a drug at one point. And, you know, she's tested clean every single since. And then this guy kept on like, oh, there's a long-term effect. Well, you know, you got to be equal in terms of everything. You know, I think from what I was talking to Shannon about it, because I talked to Shannon about it, and she's in Cyborg's corner as well, and says, you know, she made a mistake, and it's a diuretic. It wasn't anything that was gaining muscle. It was about her losing weight. She said she knows the story, and she knows that she made a mistake, and she's tested clean ever since. I mean, she's probably been tested more than any other fighter that I know of. You know, I'm in the fact that I'm willing to forgive and forget about that one incident, considering that she's made up for it. You know, but some people are still on that bandwagon that once a cheater, always a cheater, and I don't believe that's the case. So, you know, and I've written about that, I think, as well. So if I'm not mistaken, I wrote that on Fresh Start, I think, too, about the, you know, the idea of them getting off her case. So, you know, I mean, just, you know, I don't think, and this will tie into something I'll be writing next week for Fresh Start, by the way, in terms of Ronda Rousey and where she's going next from here. I don't think that the Cyborg match is going to happen anytime soon. I don't think it's going to happen within the next year or even the next 2 years, just because the ball's in Ronda's court. And Ronda could say yes. All she has to do is say, I want to do it at 140. But she's so insistent at 135. I don't think Cyborg can get 135. And I know you gals have seen Cyborg up close. There's just no way she's going to make 135. She's just that's the way that she's built. So, I mean, she'd lose muscle if she did that, and if she lose muscle, she's not going to be the same Cyborg at 135 than she was at 140 or 145. So, I'm interested to see that, but that's kind of a, you know, hinting of what I'm going to be writing about a little bit coming up on the Fresh Start website coming up this week. But I actually have to hate the hate towards her as well. And I think part of that is Ronda, you know, and that's another thing I'm going to write about, too, is that Ronda needs to stop doing, you know, stops commenting about Cyborg, you know. She's got to say, you know, seriously, period. I'm not going to fight her until 135. Stop asking the question. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I think the media needs to stop asking that question. Just like last week, I said, stop asking when they're going to sign with the UFC. Don't ask that question. And there's no answer to it. So
there's a lot. There was questions that we were like, why are they even asking these questions to these women that has nothing to do with it? When we were at the media workers, we were like, what? But, yeah, everyone wants, those are the ones that hit, you know. For me, it was weird to be behind the scenes and be like, oh, this is how they make that story out of that little thing that was said, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, I still love it, but it did kind of open me up to a little more things. But nobody complained. Nobody complained about Diaz moving up weight. Everybody was for it. Everybody wanted GSP to fight Silva to fight John Jones, but asking Cyborg pounds and Ronda to keep 5 pounds is such, like, out of people's realms. Like, no, that's, why should she do that? Why not? Challenge yourself. You're fucking everybody up in under 20 seconds. You know, why not? Why not? If you say you're here with your hands wrapped saying the best in the world, then go out there and prove that you're the best in the world. You really think Cyborg is that shitty and you can take her like that? Then fucking take her. It's all talk. I hate talk. Just do it. And you'll make so much money. It will be the biggest fight.
It will be, and that's the thing too. I mean, it would be the biggest fight in women's mixed martial arts history, and it would be a stadium thing. You know, I mean, it would be so massive. You know, I mean, it is the Mayweather Pacquiao of women's mixed martial arts. You know, so like I said, it's going to take a while for that to end up happening. It took a while for Mayweather Pacquiao to happen. You know, it took a couple of years. It's going to take a while.
How exciting is that now for people, you know? I mean, it's exciting, but, you know, Pacquiao's lost. Like, I was telling Vanessa, I don't want to see Cyborg and Ronda fight if one of them loses. It's just not as exciting for me. So I'd rather it happen sooner than later.
It's hard, yes. It'll be hard. I mean, well, with Ronda, I don't see her. If she loses, it's maybe once, but I don't think that takes away too much from her aura as much. As for Cyborg, I really don't see anybody even close to beating her. You know, I apologize to the rest of the featherweight division, but I think that Cyborg and Ronda are in unique positions at which they're so ahead of the game that the girls that are there now need a couple years in order to get to that point. And really, there's just no way to be able to do that, you know. So, I think that, you know, and again, I'll dive into this when I talk about the Ronda article coming up on Fresh Start about, you know, what I think is going to happen in the next couple years in terms of Ronda and where the division needs to head in that direction. It'll be interesting to see what's going on in terms of those two as well. What was your guys' opinion? I mean, obviously, I was watching online. Actually, I was watching with Glenna Avila up in Portland. I was watching the event. In particular, what was your guys' thoughts, you know, being there, watching Grasso versus Inoue there live?
Oh, man. It was exciting, first of all. I'm a huge Alexa Grasso fan, so I was excited to see her in there, especially up against Mizuki. I mean, I knew that was going to be a challenge. One thing with Mizuki, like, she's still going to keep going. It doesn't matter. She's going to take that beating, and she's going to keep trying, you know? But Alexa looked great as expected, you know. I enjoyed being there. She had so many fans. Everybody was chanting her name. It definitely was, maybe it seemed even more exciting, you know, going through it than the Cyborg fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like it because it lasted longer than most of the fights. so that was cool. Yeah, it was a really good fight. The energy was great. The people there gave Grasso a lot of energy. I thought they both. I actually haven't seen it on a screen yet.
Yeah, up close.
so it's kind of weird being there because you don't really kind of get to see everything from where you're sitting or whatever. But it was fun. The energy was great, and it was really good to witness that fight.
And Alexa, she looked great through the whole fight. Like, she looked really focused, and, you know, she looked amazing throughout the whole fight, all the way to the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when you're there, you know, in press row watching it from press row, you know, and I'll sometimes have to look up because usually they have little monitors above the cage, so I'll have to look up to see what's going on. But, you know, to kind of be there, and your perspective is so much different than is watching it on television. And that goes back to a bit of a pet peeve about judges not having access to monitors, but it is a little bit different to watch it in the arena or whatever. But I mean, they were slugging it out pretty solid for two rounds, and Mizuki was really coming back in that third round. She realizes that she's behind. So I think it was a really good fight, and obviously Dana White loved it. I think Dana White's now behind. I think Dana White's a little bit more behind the product now in terms of Invicta than maybe he was. I know, you know, obviously they had faith in it, but you know, this is the first time he was probably front row center watching this. I don't know if you guys saw Dana there or Lorenzo there,
but
you
can't miss him.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's great to be able to see that as well.
Fight. It was great. It was great that all those people showed up. Lorenzo showed up because those women really are talented and they're really doing something great over there. And they really go out there and they fight their hearts out. I think Invicta is one of the best organizations, especially obviously for women. Bellator is not really doing shit for them. WSOF, not really. You know, UFC a little here and there. I would actually be excited for more. I want to see a 125 division pop off really good. I think there's some 35ers who'd be better at 25, some 15ers. But, yeah, I'm glad they got to see that. Cause
Those women are a ways off. Yeah,
unfortunately.
You know, I would love to go too as well, and I absolutely agree. But Dana had said that that's a ways off. And I really, to tell you the truth, I think that's a good deal for Invicta because I really feel that what's going to happen is the UFC. What was that?
Sorry. Oh no.
But anyway, it's really good. No, okay. But I was going to say that, a lot of these girls at 35 that are fighting right now are really way too small for it. And there's been talks about, you know, Misha Tate would actually be better at 125 than she would be at 135. So I'm interested to see. I mean, some of these girls that have dropped out of the UFC, in particular, Jiroxan Modafferi, she looks awesome at 125. She never looked really that good at 135. So, I wrote about, you know, I wrote about that on the Fresh Start, my Fresh Start chart on this past week about, you know, the kind of, the, you know, the situation with the UFC and Invicta, and I highly recommend anybody go to FreshStartMMA.com, and you guys can check out that as well. I'm going to post it on my site too, but I talked a little bit about that, you know, and how Invicta, people were saying that Invicta's a feeder and blah, 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 that, you know, the UFC's going to ultimately going to buy it, which I don't think it's going to happen because Shannon had guaranteed me that he's never going to sell Invicta. And they're never, blah, blah. But I know Shannon's in it for the long haul, and you can read why I think that in the column.
Read that. I absolutely love that piece that you wrote on UFC versus Invicta, and you pointed out so many good points. Really, go check it out. But I really love how you said that, you know, no matter who goes to the UFC, like, it's not going to deter Invicta from bringing in, like, some of the best athletes in the world, and that's what's happening. And that's why Alexa Grasso caught the attention of Dana White. You know, he didn't pay as much attention, but he doesn't realize all those ladies he has, at one point they were at Invicta, you know. So I'm sad
well,
to
brought
see
the
fighters division
in. So
but,
I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he brought
know.
In the whole strawweight division in. And go ahead.
Oh no, it sucks to see Invicta lose all those fighters, but Shannon's so down for it. You know, all she wants is to see these ladies, like, you know, do the best they can and get as far as they can. So she's so supportive of it. But I think Invicta can be so big. You know, but Dana keeps grabbing those really good stars. Well, the ones that he wants for the most part, because there's still a couple ladies in there that, you know, very talented and have a lot of fights under their belt and aren't getting acknowledged.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, I mentioned Katya, Kankanpa, and she's a champion right now, and she's only lost once, and that was to JoJo. And like I said, I have, strangely enough, that UFC hasn't said that they're interested in her. And considering that she's a champion, and I think her record right now is 10-1-1 right now as it stands, you know, I mean, she's one of the best strawweights in the world as well. So, I mean, it's an interesting dichotomy, but then again, what Shannon's doing is she's developing a lot of great talent. You know, as much as she's losing talent, she's gaining a lot more of it. A lot of the strawweights she has signed are really talented. I mean, when they signed Alexa Grasso, this was after a lot of the girls were heading to the UFC because of Tough 20. And there's appreciation to it, and I talk a little bit about that in the article as well. I think Invicta does appreciate their athletes a lot more than the UFC does, you know, and I think that sometimes when you get into a big pond like that, it's hard to be that kind of, you know, kind of be stick out, you know. There's only certain things, and like I said, there's a huge problem, and Jay had actually reposted something I had posted a month ago that people are starting to, you know, other media sites are starting to get the idea, is that here's a champion, Carla Esparza, that you're not getting behind. She is your champion. Why are you not getting behind Carla, who who's the gal that won Tough 20. She's the one that has the belt right now. And I mean, you know, I think she's attractive. I think everybody's attractive in a certain way. She's marketable. She does a lot of social media. She does a lot of interviews. But I don't know why the UFC just hasn't had that opportunity. But I guess Carla had said that she talked to the PR department over at the UFC this past weekend, and they said that they're going to work on it. But yeah, it's kind of was stupid for them to even, you know, think that and push Paige so much more. Considering that Paige, as much as talented as she is, you know, but she's the younger girl that's going to reach out to the younger generation. Well, I mean, there's other girls that could fit that bill too. But you know, I mean, I've had my problems with that as well. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to say the least in terms of where the world is right now in terms of where the marketing is and where the fighters are. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where Invicta heads from here. I'm hoping that, you know, obviously the next guards have been announced. You know, Katya is going to be defending her title in a couple weeks. I kind of wish there wasn't so much of a, it was 4 weeks, basically, that they have to prepare for this next card. We still haven't gotten that location yet, so hopefully that'll be taken care of this week because people need to know. But the good news is that after this event, they already announced the Vegas event coming up on during fight week. And that's going to be a little bit easier for people to plan for. And I think that's the biggest problem in Victor right now, and I talked to Shannon about that, is that, you know, you got to give us time. we can't plan 4 weeks ahead. I mean, we got to plan 2 weeks, 2 months ahead. That's what the UFC does. I mean, they're planning out cards, you know, quickly, and I know she's got dates in mind now that she's starting to think ahead about what dates are going on and all that as well. But hopefully during that break between the April card and July card, she'll be able to get her ducks in a row and start announcing dates and places, as quickly as possible so we can plan accordingly and get those crowds up, those crowd numbers up. How was the crowd, by the way, in L.A.?
Oh, I loved it. Everybody just seemed so chill and kicked back and having fun. You know, like I said, there was a lot of people there, and everybody was just standing around. I was running around everywhere. Like, there was no keeping me in my seat. I had 2 tickets, so I was going back and forth to get as many pictures as I could. I was pretty much on that catwalk. But everybody was so, like, friendly and nice, you know, no matter where I ended up, everybody just seemed like, oh, hello, how you enjoying the fight? Even other people like, showing us pictures they got, like they were showing DJ, the media was all like, oh, what'd you get? She's like, oh, I got these pictures. It was such a chill crowd. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it was very free. I don't know. I feel like if you are going to the UFC Expo, you should definitely check out that Invicta card that's going to be happening over there. It really is a good card. There's really more free range. It is a more relaxed environment. I've never been to a UFC card, but I feel like I would have my guard up if I went because UFC, I think Invicta, to go to those shows, you have to really be a fan because, you know, there's smaller shows. And UFC, it's like, oh, UFC is coming, let's go, and you get drunk with your buddies, even girls too. And they just, you know, they're kind of ruckus. But when you go to Invicta, you're really going, and it's really those fans that really want to be there, and it's just fun. There's no Grasso, so I don't like you, or you like, Mizuki, so I don't like you. And it's nothing like that. It's all fun and games.
Yeah, I know we're going to go into archive real quick. I just let everybody know, if you want to, call in, it's 347-855-8016. It's 347-855-8016. You can see it on top of the screen as well if you want to call in and listen in. But I want to tell you guys a story. The last time I covered an Invicta was their last card in Kansas City. And I was one of the last people to leave the hotel. I ended up getting a shuttle out to the airport. There's a guy that got picked up at one of the local hotels as well, and we're heading out. A woman had asked what he was doing, the guy was doing there in town, and he says, "Oh, I was catching the female fighting over at the arena," and I had mentioned that I was covering it there as press, and we got into a conversation about it. He says, "Well, I read something about Invicta in a magazine," And I was really interested, so I decided to take a trip out and watch it. And he said he enjoyed it very much. He ended up going and getting a seat, and he wound up sitting next to Michelle Waterson's family. And, you know, so, you know, he was there, and he was welcomed with open arms, and, you know, they made him feel like part of family, you know, watching Michelle and all that as well. And he had a really good time about it. So so I was hearing this guy, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, I've covered this, and obviously I gave him one of my cards, and I said, you know, definitely check out my site. But it just goes to show, you know, the openness that is Invicta. You know, I mean, a lot of these people have their families and friends are very open for people to sit down and watch with them and as well. So there's a kind of connection there as well, which is absolutely amazing. So yeah, it was great to be able to see that as well. Yeah, I mean, you know, I look forward to it. I don't know. Hopefully, the next location for the next Invicta. They're either saying Denver or Kansas City. I'm hearing both.
Denver would be fun.
I'm pushing for Denver. I've always been pushing for Denver because there's so many talented fighters on the Invicta roster that are from Denver. It wouldn't take that much to be it, and the crowd would be absolutely insane.
I know.
I'm pretty sure we'd sell out.
I'd love to get out there.
So, yeah, and I know, and Shannon said he's working on it, but she doesn't know. I don't know if it's going to be the next card or the one after the Vegas card that's going to be the Denver one. Mm-hmm. So, because they're also saying KC. So, I don't know. We'll have to see this week, and I'll have to get a bug in Shannon's ear to give us an announcement so we can know plan ahead of time. But anyway, one last question to you ladies. I mean, obviously it's International Women's Day. I mean, what does it mean to you to first of all, have, you know, I want to shout out to the male supporters out there. You know, I mean, we're hanging about half of the press right now in terms of women's mixed martial arts right now is men, and the other half is women. You know, for you to be able to see, you know, individuals like myself and, you know, a bunch of other guys that have been covering the sport for quite a while, I mean, what does it mean to you to see so many guys, you know, support the sport in terms of really being out there and being fans? I mean, obviously, being out there at the Invicta event, you know, I think pretty much it would probably be 50-50 women and men in terms of that. But what are your guys' thoughts about that in terms of the male, you know, the male support in terms of women's mixed martial arts?
You know, obviously there's a mixture of good and bad, but I like that there is a good amount of good. You know, I would assume that there would be more people focusing on certain things because it is women, but it isn't. You do get people like yourself who, you know, treat them like any other fighter, and you're covering their fights and their background and getting to know them. And, you know, you guys are doing it the right way, and that's what I like to see. Even at Invicta, you know, I ran into Doc Howie, who, you know, shows up at all the events. He's sponsoring these fighters. Even Cole Vick from MMA Jam Session, he flew in, like, for the fight, flew back home that night, I believe, maybe the next morning, just so he can be there, you know, and it's not his first fight. So it's really cool that they're, you know, making the effort to really go out and watch these ladies, you know, do their thing and grow in the sport and to really be, you know, behind them and pushing them and trying to get them out there like that.
I like it. You know, like Vanessa said, obviously there's still a little back and forth. I've been a fan for a really long time, so it's good to see the comments be less about looks, even though there is that still there. And that's, you know, I get it. But, man, it's awesome. These women really are just, you know, it sucks to always compare them to men, to be like, oh, they're just as good as men, because it's not really about that. They're great for women. They shouldn't be compared to men. But it's awesome that people are really finally giving them a chance to even show that they can knock you out or, and, you know, not think that it's a fucking joke, because it's not. These women work hard, and they're very skilled. And, you know, after the Rousey fight, I saw a lot of shit about, like, oh, you know, these women, oh, blah, blah, this and that. It's like, oh, come on, you guys. Like, you haven't even stepped in a gym to try. What do you even know? So, but I like that the media sees can see, like, with the open workouts, and they're very accessible in general. You know, there's cameras at King's all the time. We don't have a lot of women, but still. So it's cool. Like, it's great. I don't know how to explain it more than that. It's just as simple as it's awesome for them to get some respect, finally. And they deserve it.
Yeah, and there was a couple comments just to get off of what you said was that the women's division isn't as good as it thinks it is. Well, I give you the strawweight division. I think it's just that there's not enough. Like I said, there's not, first of all, not enough depth in the bantamweight division. And second, Ronda Rousey's just that good. I mean, she's been training since 8 and 9. Some of these girls haven't been training mixed martial arts until they were at least in their early 20s. So, you know, Ronda has a head start on some of these girls. So I don't think it's the situation where these girls don't work hard enough or their division isn't good. I think it's just that Ronda's just that much better. And same thing with Cyborg, that she's just that much better, and the division doesn't have enough depth yet. But like you said, look at the strawweights. The strawweights' depth is just absolutely insane. It's going to be hard. I mean, it's going to be hard for Carla to retain her championship because there's so many great talent out there. I mean, she has a target on her back, you know. But she needs to prove, you know, she's obviously wants to prove that she's the champion for a reason, and she's going to take on all comers. So hopefully we get to see a really great fight between her and Joanna Jędrzejczyk coming up. And hopefully they pipe it up a little bit more because it's actually going to be a good fight. we're running out of
time. I'm excited about I think that strawweight is the division that people should be paying attention to if they're paying attention to women's MMA. I think if you take out Ronda, the bantamweight is still good. Like you said, Ronda, she was bred to be a champion. So it is what it is. Cyborg, it is what it is. But if you take them out of the equation, there's still great fights that happen between the 35ers. It's just Ronda's just out of this fucking everybody's league, unfortunately.
Shout out to Renaud, by the way. Marion Renaud, I mean, she's a badass.
Oh, yeah.
And she's 37.
That just proves it doesn't matter.
I got a huge conversation with that with Glenna Avila, but I'll wait for another time because we are running out of time. First of all, I want to mention WMA Jam is every Sunday. No show tonight though, but every Sunday and
Saturday.
Just Sundays, right?
Saturday.
Every Saturday. Check them out, WMA Jam, and follow them on Twitter. Twitter handles, ladies?
Mine, @ Vanessa Borquez.
Mine's @ Sabrina Roquez.
Or find us @ WMA Jam.
So, yeah, so make sure you guys to follow them, and @ WMA Jam Live, of course, as well, and, hopefully, I mean, I haven't been seeing a lot of articles from you two lately in terms of the website too. I want to see you ladies do a little bit more articles.
Yeah.
We've
been talking about
website.
That. You guys might see a little bit more from us. So,
good to hear that as well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, it's been a pleasure. I know we haven't talked that often in terms of physically talking. We've talked a lot on Twitter and on Facebook as well. And thank you, ladies, for taking some time out today to be on my show. And best of luck to you. We'll definitely have you on sometime in the near future.
Thank you.
Hey, shout out for International Women's Day. Shout out to Julie Kedzie. She's a fighter and she's helping out Invicta a lot too. So got to give her some props.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll get to see each other at a Invicta event. Hopefully, Denver. Fingers crossed. So, if not Vegas, which I know I'm going to be running like a chicken with my head cut off in Vegas during that week because I'll be covering 5 or 6 different events that's going on that week. So, I'll definitely check you out down the line as well. So, like I said, best of luck, ladies, and we'll definitely keep in touch on Twitter. So, we'll talk to you ladies soon.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. That's Vanessa and Sabrina from WMMA Jam Live. You guys can check them out at WMMA Jam Live. Like I said, every Saturday they have a show. They didn't do a show last night, but they will be doing one this week as well. Next week, I'm trying to get Iman Barlow on. She is a very talented English British kickboxer. She also does commentary for Infusion. So we're going to have her on the show hopefully coming up on Saturday. Since it's a different time zone, we might be a little bit earlier, maybe. So maybe definitely check that out coming up next week. LittleWombatSports.com. I'm still kind of updating. Like I said, I was sick all week, so I got to update a lot of news that went on this past week. So definitely check us out as well. Check us out on Twitter @WombatSports, @WombatSports, and WombatSports on Facebook. You guys can check us out there as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week on the podcast. And everybody, please, happy Women's Day. And please, again, heforshe.org. Go and sign the commitment if you haven't already. It's absolutely free. But if you're a fan of women's combat sports, sign it. You're already a part of the movement. Talk to you guys next week.